You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, July 27th, three straight weeks of road trips for me. Of course, 2 weeks ago tonight, we were doing a remote from Biloxi, Mississippi. At least I was. Keith Alexander was up in the Memphis studio then, as he is now. Last week, I had just returned home from a Thursday and Friday engagement at a preparedness expo with the great Sam Bushman in Lebanon, Missouri, and now I'm deep in southern Alabama. So 3 weeks, Mississippi, Missouri, Alabama, respectively covered, and that's where I am this evening. Keith, once again, about 400 miles due north up in Memphis at our flagship station as we go out to the affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith, how are things up in Memphis today, my friend?
Well, same old 6 and 7 up here in Memphis, James. I'm glad you're enjoying it down in L.A. That's Lower Alabama, the home of Courtney from Alabama, one of our loyal bloggers. And by the way, did you ever get to make contact with her while you were down there?
No, I sure haven't. It's been a busy trip meeting a lot of good people, but apparently not the most important.
Well, I just happened to hear from her a couple of days ago, so I told her that you're down there in the vicinity, so hide the children and the and everybody else down there, because James is on the loose in Lower Alabama.
Well, that's right, and since we're saying hellos and greetings and salutations to everybody, my wife, who is here with me right now, wants to say hello to Sam Bushman, who she finally met for the first time last week at that aforementioned meeting in Missouri, and has been singing his praises ever since. I don't think we've gone a day since last weekend where she hasn't invoked Sam's name one way or the other. So, folks, that's what you're missing out. Next time you hear Sam Bushman making a speech or an appearance in any shape, form, or fashion, you got to go get the Bushman experience, because I'm telling you, it's amazing, she says, and it leaves an impression. But as Keith mentioned, and as I guess I mentioned, I am down here in Alabama, and we've got a busy show. Last week, again, I had just returned home from that Missouri engagement, and we had just a blockbuster. Some people were calling it the best cesspool show ever for a single installment. And
in fact, that was a friend of ours named Gerald from Dallas, and we want to do a shout-out to him. We really enjoyed your breakdown. That was an excellent job, Gerald, and we're going to, we need to print that on the Cesspool blog, tell you the truth, James.
It was one of the finer emails that came in out of the very many that did. Of course, last week's show featured an all-star lineup of Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Kevin McDonald, Kyle Rogers, and, of course, you and me, Keith, along with Peter Scoop Stanton chiming in. It was a busy one. Tonight won't be as crowded as far as guests goes, but the one that we have this evening is certainly in many ways equally impressive. Why don't you explain to the audience, Keith, or I should say describe to the audience, who's coming on tonight, why it's important, and what's going to be not the sole topic tonight. I know last week we focused exclusively on Trayvon Martin and the Zimmerman verdict and acquittal and the media reaction and everything else that went into that story. Tonight we're going to be focusing not exclusively on a story, but we're going to spend more time on one story than all of the rest. We've got a guest that falls right in line with that story. Who is it and what is it, Keith?
Well, it's two guests, actually. We're going to have the website head of SBPDL, Stuff Black People Don't Like, which is a send-up of the famous anti-white Stuff White People Like website, which kind of makes fun of white people as being these hippie bobos and metrosexuals and whatnot. Well, the contrary to that, the counterpoint to that is, now, what is Paul's last name?
Paul Kersey.
Yeah, I was about to say Mercy, but Paul Kersey.
We're going to be begging for mercy by the time Paul's done this.
Yeah, I know. Paul is great. If you want to read about what black political empowerment does to a city, Paul is the resident expert. Paul Kersey has written a book called Birmingham, From Magic City to Tragic City. He's also written one called The Destruction of Detroit, which we're going to be focusing on tonight. He is a resident expert on race, politics, and prosperity and the interplay of those things. Also, we have a new guest coming in tonight, Holly Berry, who we will just call is an informed source on the Detroit question. She's coming in around midpoint of the second hour. We're going to be talking to Paul from midpoint at the first hour until midpoint of the second hour. And we'll get back to you on what we're doing in the third hour. But nonetheless, last week it was Trayvon Martin. This week, Detroit. Detroit, in my opinion, is a much bigger story, James.
Well, because there's something actually, it is a story at all. To be a story at all would make it a bigger story than the Trayvon Martin media manufactured, you know, fantastic fairy tale that they've tried to cast this as. But no, what's happened to Detroit, of course, they finally flew up their hands in insolvency and said, listen, we're beyond hope, we're beyond redemption, there's no way, we're bankrupt, and we're going to get into that. And, you know, the thing about Paul Kersey is he runs that website that you mentioned, Keith, but a large contingent of his fans and followers and readers are members of the black community. And his book, the one about the just the tragic morass that is Detroit, is in the top 3,000. On Amazon and climbing, so it's one of the most popular books on all of Amazon, and it was just released a couple of weeks ago, and this is the earliest we could get Paul on the program to work him in. So it's going to be a big show tonight, and it's going to deal with a true story, a story that should be examined, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be providing in-depth analysis and opinion on what's happened in Detroit, which, again, as Keith said, is an actual story, a story that has repercussions above and beyond the fantasy story that the media has tried to inflate with the Martin Zimmerman deal. But I'm looking forward to it tonight. Paul Kersey will be great, so we're going to have a little bit of a variety the first hour, then we're going to have Paul in the second, and then a voice of femininity later in the program, which is always a welcome treat for us here in the cesspool, a breath of fresh air. And then in the third hour, we're going to get back to a little more variety tonight. So Paul Kersey has made an appearance earlier in our run. I think it was a year or two ago, so we're very happy to have him back tonight for a much overdue and long delayed
encore
appearance. And he's going to be promoting this book that's racing up the Amazon bestsellers list. It's just a couple of weeks hot off the press, and now he's making some time for us tonight. And this was Keith's idea, you know, to talk about Detroit. Keith and I get together every week, midweek, to have a little brainstorming session, and we compare notes and ideas over lunch. And Keith said, let's do a show in Detroit. Let's try to get Paul Kersey. And we put in the bid, and it was accepted. So we're excited about that.
Well, Paul Kersey's book ought to be number one because it is the most accurate, most truthful, and most well-documented of all of these books. I was listening to the brain-dead Glenn Beck on the way into the show, and of course, he has the neocon talking points down pat. He said that Detroit failed because they haven't had a Republican mayor since 1961. There it is, all in a nutshell, wrapped up for you by Glenn Beck and the mainstream media. If you want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, stay tuned. You're going to get it here at the Political Cesspool.
Well, Keith, I know we're running a little bit short on time this first segment, and I actually just got an email from Paul Kersey on my iPhone here. So, folks, we're just getting revved up tonight. A little banter to open up the show this evening. Last week was just such a busy show, we didn't even have time to catch our breaths and talk to each other. But we're going to do that tonight and more when the cesspool continues. Stay tuned, everybody.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards commanding the ship this evening from the Alabama Gulf Coast, and Keith Alexander up in Memphis. And Keith, I want to quickly read an email for you. You know, we try to pick out an email or two of the week, if you will, at the top of the show each Saturday night, the first segment to kind of set the tone. And well, I can't say set the tone. It sets the tone very highly, and then it just devolves from there. But I got an email here, Keith, that you might enjoy and appreciate. It's one that you haven't seen yet because it just came in to me a day or two ago, and I've been out of town since then. Comes in from a listener, Christine, and Christine writes this: Dear James, hello. I'm listening to your archived series on Confederate History Month, and I'm very impressed with Mr. Keith Alexander. I was wondering if he has spoken on your program extensively regarding the Reconstruction era, and equally of interest to me, the so-called Jim Crow era of the South. As well, if he or anyone would be so kind as to refer me to any written material, hardcover or otherwise, that deals with these topics strictly from a Southern perspective. I would be very grateful for any help in obtaining materials on these subjects. You have a great show. The South is the only great thing about the United States. It always was, and it always will be, as long as God gives us this green earth. God bless you, Christine. So, Keith, I thought that would be particularly rewarding for you, my friend, who, you know, I can't ever say, we've done Confederate History Month series since our inception in 2004, and I don't think there's ever been a year that we have still continued to receive feedback and emails from the listeners on a Confederate History Month series 3 months after the fact, but this is the first, and you did a lot of work on this year's Confederate History Month series, and it's richly deserved.
You know, we forget that there are people tuning in for the first time because we've talked about things like the Brown decision or Confederate History Month before. We assume that the whole audience has been listening, but of course, we're picking up new audience members each week. And it's really gratifying. We've been getting more and more. We had a school teacher named Vincent from New Jersey that gave us an excellent, just heartwarming pat on the back for the work we did on Confederate History Month. We are the only mainstream media source for alternative information or alternative history regarding the true causes of the Civil War. And, you know, people are hungry for this because they instinctively know that they've been fed a pack of lies by higher academia and the mainstream media, typified by Steven Spielberg's noxious movie Lincoln that came out. And, of course, the even more ludicrous Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. That's what is fed to the public as history regarding the causes of the Civil War. And, of course, both of these things are total fabrications. Nothing could be further from the truth. And we believe, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, his life's motto, live not by lies. We're not going to live by lies here at the Political Cesspool. We're going to stick our head in the noose to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, James. Thanks
well,
for
yeah,
that.
It's like you said, Keith, whenever the topic is brought up on the programs of our peers, the only debate is how bad and how evil was the South, and the answers will vary to some certain degrees. But never will you find an objective counter-argument. And, of course, we try to balance that out to the extent that we can on here from our perspective, and people are enjoying it. You know, one of the most memorable Confederate History Month series for me was, I believe, back in 2007 when we were still on 5 nights a week, and I think we had 28 days or something like that of guest after guest after guest that was an authority or a museum curator. We had the curator of Beauvoir, which was the Jefferson Davis home right there in Biloxi, Mississippi, where I was a couple of weeks ago. We had the curator for the Museum of the Confederacy in Richmond, Virginia, and just more and more directors of battlefields, and it was just an incredible series when it comes to talking with a variety of guests who can offer substance on the subject, again, from a pro-South, or at least an objective perspective. But aside from that year, 2007, which people that might be interested in that line of thinking, people that might be interested in that subject would want to go back to our broadcast archives if they are new listeners and go into the April 2007 archive. But besides that year, Keith, you know, we didn't have a lot of guests this year during our Confederate History Month series. It was mainly you offering your critique and analysis on different aspects of the war and what it meant. And I'm telling you, the feedback continues to roll in.
Well, it's not that, you know, what I have is unique or new. It's that it's the only outlet for this information in the mainstream media. If somebody wants to read, you know, basically what happened, you need to read a little pulp magazine by a fellow named Mike Scruggs called The Uncivil War. You can look that up on the internet. You can order a copy. It's only like $7.95. And it breaks it all down. It tells you what the real causes were. And, for example, I told you about this history teacher in New Jersey named Vincent. He said he uses our materials from this show in his classroom instruction. And he said that the Political Cesspool has become, you know, a favorite of a lot of his students. And a lot of his students are inner city black kids. How
well,
do you like them apples?
Let the truth be told in love and see who appreciates it. Or as you often say to me, Keith, let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes. But nevertheless, we're certainly making up for last week's busy show with extended banter time here at the top of the show. But it's important. You know, and I like reading those emails. And if we just read all of the emails that came in, we would never get any work done other than reading emails, because that many people seem to appreciate our work. But I'll tell you, it is important that we read an email or two each week just to let people know that, hey, there is a movement growing here. The Political Cesspool continues to have a snowball effect now nearly 10 years into our run. I mean, can you believe that? Nearly 10 years. It'll be 9 years this October. Next year will be our 10th year on the air. And it's because we're providing people with something the likes of which they're not going to find anywhere else. It is a unique show. It's a refreshing show, and so we appreciate Christine and all of the other people that tune into the show, both longtime listeners and people who are tuning in tonight even for the first time. You know, I shared with you earlier, Keith, that we got an email from a gentleman who owns some radio stations and some online streaming applications, and he's picking up our show, going to start rebroadcasting it on Sunday, and if I'm not mistaken, we're picking it up, I think, 3 new venues there. So it continues to grow, and that should give people encouragement. I mean, certainly it encourages us to know that that level of support is out there in the hearts and minds of those who are willing to hear a message and have an open mind. But it should reinforce to everyone else out there who isn't privy to all of the correspondence that we receive that, yes, we are not the only ones. They are not the only ones. There are more and more people coming around. And we're going to play a couple of news clips, or not news clips, but just videos, I guess, of people who are standing up and speaking out. And it's something that I never saw when we first started on the air. And to the extent that we've played a role in changing the public discourse on some of the issues that are our signatures, you know, will never be known. But I will say we have played some role, and we're seeing a lot more people come aboard and speak out and support us and carry the show. And this is something that when we were first getting going, it was very much touch and go whether or not we would be able to survive and stay on the air and stay in the mainstream media. And now we have more than solidified ourselves. So long as the audience continues with their financial support, I mean, we are not only maintaining a foothold, but we're growing.
Well, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but nobody's getting rich on this thing from our end. In fact, we're basically meeting expenses. We do this as a labor of love. We think that, as it says in the Bible, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, and furthermore, that our people perish for lack of knowledge. We've got to provide that information. People know this stuff intuitively. That's why we get such an overwhelming response from people once they start to listen to us, James.
All right, we got to take a break, and we'll be back with more here on the Political Cesspool Radio program this evening, exclusively on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. There at the tail end of that last segment, we were commenting on the fact that more and more people seem to not... I have known for a long, long time that, and I say this nearly every show, I guess, most decent Americans, and by decent I mean hardworking, tax-paying, God-fearing, middle Americans, red state Americans. Most of those people, whether they will admit it or not, in their heart of hearts, they agree with us fundamentally, right down the line here on the political cesspool. I mean, that's why we're still here, right? I mean, you don't survive as a nationally syndicated show without some level of support. So we have an audience out there. But what I'm seeing now, I think, more than I certainly did there in the early years of our run is other organizations, other outlets, other individuals speaking out explicitly on our signature issues. One example that I've made a couple of times now is WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily, a huge, I think the biggest online magazine in the world for these types of issues when it comes to, you know, patriotism and the Constitution and things like that, a conservative publication, has now started explicitly talking about issues pertaining to race. And I think Colin Flaherty is one of the premier voices on this issue. And I want to applaud and congratulate Joe Farah for allowing him to explore some of these issues factually and honestly and without a muzzle. WorldNet Daily is doing great work. Not that they weren't before on some issues, but now they're adding this to their repertoire, and it's outstanding work that they're doing. It truly is. News with Views. News with Views is another just mainline conservative publication, not a neoconservative, but they were a conservative publication, online publication, that weren't really talking about race too much because, you know, they didn't want to be called the R word. But again, I'm not going to say it's entirely because of the political cesspool's leadership, but I have no doubt that other people out there are saying, hey, these guys are talking about it. They're talking about it in a way that's not inflammatory, not in a way that is trying to just stir up racial angst, but they just want to have an open and frank discussion about these very important issues. And I think we might have played a role in the evolution that some of these other groups are having. I mean, even before the political cesspool, certainly you had American Renaissance and the Council of Conservative Citizens who've been working on these issues forever. But as far as media venues goes, I think we were one of the only games in town back in 2004. Now we're seeing others. I mentioned WorldNet Daily. This is a commentary that was provided by the other website I mentioned recently, newswithviews.com. Let's play this clip.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. And I'm going to say something right now that's pretty startling. In fact, there aren't very many people in America that have the courage to say what I'm about to say because of all the slings and arrows and evil things and mean things that are going to be said about me. Well, I've got the courage to say it, and I'm going to say it anyway. Are you ready? I'm proud to be white. I'm proud to be white. See, that makes a lot of you right there, makes a lot of you very, very nervous. And the reason you're so nervous is you don't realize how much we have been programmed in this culture in issues regarding race. Oh, it's nothing at all for a black man to say that he's black and proud of it. It's nothing for a Mexican to say that they're a Chicano and proud of it. What do they call that? La raza, the race. Oh, you're not ashamed to say that you're a homosexual. You're not ashamed to say that you're an atheist. Why is it that people are ashamed to say that they're white? Well, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a proud white man, proud of my European heritage, my European descent. We're in a world of trouble in America, folks. And I want to point something out to you. Again, it's going to make you uncomfortable, probably going to make you nervous, going to make my email inbox fill up with people calling me racist and calling me all kinds of names. I got to stop right there. How can a How can a black guy not be a racist, but a white guy can be a racist? When a black guy talks about, how can Jesse Jackson not be a racist when everything's about race? And if I even mention the fact that I'm a proud white man, I'm a racist. I don't buy into that. You can call me names. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to impact me. Here's what we've got to get over. Are you ready for this? Nobody will say this but me, and I'm going to say it to you because I don't care. It is the truth. I don't care what they say about me, friends. Listen, we have got to get beyond white guilt. We've dealt with the issue of slavery in America. We've dealt with it. 600,000 American lives died in the Civil War over the issue of slavery. We have got to get beyond that. That debt has been paid. And I don't know what it does to you, but it does all kinds of stuff to me. When I see they take a guy like George Zimmerman and call him, well, they call him a white Hispanic. Well, I'm going to shock you right now. Barack Obama is a white Negro. How can I say that? Well, they both have one parent that was white. And so they use race to divide us. Now, I want you to think about this. Barack Obama gets 90%, over 90% of the black vote. And nobody calls that racism. But if Coach Dave Dobenmeyer were to run for president of the United States and he were to get 95% of the white vote because he happens to be a white man, why is that all of a sudden racist? Oh, it's a trick they're playing on us, friends. I love to tell people this. There's only two races. Those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And if we begin to look at the demographics across America, we're going to understand a very startling statistic. It won't be much longer than maybe 25, 30 years that white Americans will no longer be the majority in this nation. That's a scary thought. Not scary that white people aren't going to be the majority. But scary that white people, for whatever reason, have stopped producing children. The Christian ethic has disappeared of where we are blessed to have children. Some statistics say that Islam, the Muslims, are having children at a rate of 8 to 1. And Christian white families are barely reproducing. Listen, I am a proud white American of European descent. I'm not ashamed of who I am. And this idea that there's a black Christian and there's a white Christian and there's all kinds of colors. Folks, we have got to get beyond that. And we've got to, again, begin to stand up for our great Judeo-Christian ethic. Germans and Russians and Caucasians all across America should begin once again to rise up and say, we're proud of our white heritage. I'm a proud white American. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at NewsWithUs.TV at NewsWithUs.com. We'll see you next time.
Folks, there you have it. If you're not familiar, again, I'll tell you, News With Views is a very conservative Christian Republican organization / publication, very much mainstream compared to what the media tries to cast yours truly as, even though I consider myself to be very mainstream and traditionalist. But so there's News With Views. You know, 2004, we were taking all the arrows, the only media entity on AM/FM radio that was talking about these issues. And now WorldNet Daily is coming on board in a huge way. News With Views, listen, that guy, that was a rock solid. I would, you know, critique it a little bit. But I, as I said on the blog this week, I give him an A- as a grade. If I was grading that speech, I give it a solid A-. There's a couple of passages.
I'd give him an A, James. This is Keith.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith. I mean, but it's encouraging, right?
Oh, it is. It's encouraging, and you're absolutely right. We have influence. I've heard little tidbits of what we've said on shows like Michael Savage, on Rush Limbaugh. We're being listened to. We're not being acknowledged. We're not being given credit. The coach, Dawkins, or whatever his name was, said he's the only guy with the courage to say this, but he obviously says what we say every week. Now, maybe you need to send him a copy of your book, Racism Smacism, James.
Well, I very well may do that, Keith, and help him continue his learning, but I was very impressed. I didn't never know that guy before. I haven't heard of him, but obviously he's a spokesman or a representative of News with Views, which is a pretty prominent website. And listen, again, great work. I mean, it's fundamental. What he said there is pretty much the beginner's course for a political cesspool listener. But it was still, I'm very much encouraged to see more and more of these conservative
Look, he wouldn't be saying it if he hadn't heard it from us, okay? I'll go that far out on the limb.
What's that, Keith?
I said he would never have said it if we hadn't been saying the same thing for 4 or 5 years.
Well, that very well may be the case, but I'll tell you this. You know, you're talking about, I know you said you've heard some things, you know, Limbaugh and Hannity have said things from time to time that sounds like something. Well, you know that they've at least got us on the radar. I mean, I've been invited as a guest on the Sean Hannity show before. So this was back, I think, in 05, 06, so right before I made my little string of appearances on CNN. So, yeah, I mean, we're on the radar of these people. These people are at least watching us. They have to be listening to us, or they wouldn't know to invite us on their program.
I think they have gleaners. I think they don't listen themselves, but they have
people
listening to grassroots programs like ours to take the pulse of America, and I think they've found that we're one of the primary go-to sources for what is really on the minds of red state Americans and conservative, truly conservative Americans throughout the fruited plain, as Rush Limbaugh would say.
Well, that's the voice from America. Let's listen to a voice from Europe after this next commercial break. Stay tuned, folks.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Keith Alexander manning the flagship station up in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm down on the Alabama Gulf Coast. Peter Scoop Stanton has just called in, but before we get to Scoop's nightly report, I want to quickly go to a clip from Europe. We played in that last segment a clip from newswithviews.com. They're coming around on some of these critical questions. And I'm telling you, folks, I am beginning to see a groundswell. We've not nearly reached critical mass yet, obviously, but more and more people are standing up, speaking out the way James Edwards and Keith Alexander and Scoop Stanton and the rest of the cesspool staff and crew have been doing for nearly a decade now in the mainstream airwaves. Let's go to this clip from Europe, though. It's from a question and answer session, a public forum. Looked like it was well attended, maybe several hundred people, maybe even a couple of thousand there. Let's listen to this exchange. You'll hear two questions from people who deliver your basic anti-white monologues and then an incredible answer.
Hello, my name is George Fotopoulos. I would like to make a point to Mr. Murray. The last point you made in favor of the motion was that the people of Europe have the right to protect their identity and that their politicians should respect that right. And I would like to ask you why you feel that the presence of one or two or a thousand people with a different identity within a society threatens the identity of the people who were in the society originally. Whether you believe that is a legitimate concern or a primal fear, reason. That is my question.
Thank you. And towards the back.
My name is Ellie Liu. I was a student in the University of Piraeus International European Studies. And I would like to say that the European Union was an ex-colonial power. So most of the countries of the Third World were exploited from us. So now we cannot say that we don't accept them because most of their riches and their wealth were taken from us.
Douglas Murray, your response particularly to that challenge to you.
Very quickly, first of all, if I were Hassan in Syria, I would hope, among other things, that I would help to rebuild my country after the Assad dynasty had wrecked it so completely. I'd hope that I would stay and help to rebuild the country after the devastation caused by that family. Secondly, the gentleman here who said one or two people, the gentleman here said, why are you threatened by one or two people? I'm not threatened by one or two people. Nobody is threatened by one or two people. The figures I gave you showed we're not talking about one or two people. The figure I gave you at the very beginning was that people who identify as white British citizens are now a minority in their capital city. So we're not talking about one or two people, and it is very disingenuous to pretend that I was. Thirdly, the lady at the back, you say colonialism. I'd like to return the question to you. I don't deny the crimes of colonialism, not for a moment. I'd like to ask you a question. How long do former colonial countries have to be punished for, then? How long do we have to have our identity erased for? Is there any end limit to it in your eyes, or is it only at the point of complete negation? And finally, why is it that it's only European former colonialist countries? The largest, one of the largest and most significant and longest colonial powers in history was the Turkish Empire. Do we do this to Turkey? Do we say to Turkey, you must have your identity erased as well as punishment for the past? Almost every single people in the world at some point has done something historically they could be punished for. But why, I wonder, is it that it is Europeans that we are always being heard,
Douglas
being
Murray,
offered that choice?
Douglas Murray, thank you. Before we go to Makis Fouridis.
All right, folks. I mean, that sounded as if it were spoken by Pat Buchanan himself. That was a question directed to, I believe, the leader of a pro-white party in Europe. And again, where was this 10, 20 years ago? I didn't see it. Keith, I know we have Peter Scoop Stanton on the line. I'd like to give you 30 seconds and just a very quick response to what you just heard from that exchange. Two questions, I think, very eloquently rebutted.
Well, so, what I would say, excuse me, James, I've got a little frog in my throat, but I'm glad that people are having an awakening, not only in America, but in Europe. We have, people throughout Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Scandinavia, everywhere, that now realize that what is called white supremacy is really nothing more than white egalitarianism. We want the same right to have a sense of racial solidarity that every other group does. And like they say, anti-racism is anti-white. And the position of the elites in all of our nations is not left, not right, but anti-white. All of liberalism is intended to try to bring us down. That's the end game for them. And I'm glad that more and more people are recognizing that that's what the whole shebang is all about, James.
I think sometime not too long ago, white racial consciousness was flatlined on the table. I believe, I can't say we're nearing a second renaissance yet, but I do believe that there is at least a faint heartbeat now. I do believe that there will be some sort of resistance before we are genocided out of existence, and I believe we're seeing some of the frameworks being laid for that with this program, other outlets now speaking up on this, political parties in Europe. We don't have a pro-white political party here in America that has yet, I know there's the American Freedom Party, but I'm talking about that has yet reached a level of power where they'll be covered by the media. But we can get there, and I believe that we will. Peter Scoop Stanton, thank you for being so patient. I didn't intend to have you wait so long. This is, in fact, your segment. What do you have for us tonight?
Good evening, James, Keith, Sam, and the NSA, and Suspool fan, friends, and family. I'll try to make this quick. I apologize if I sound a little bit distracted, but I'm in somewhere in the nation's capital fighting traffic looking for a parking spot. But last week's show was probably one of the top 10 ever. Just to follow up on the Trayvon Martin debacle, I found a website called WeAreNotTrayvonMartin.org or .com. Just Google "We Are Not Trayvon Martin" and you'll pop up. And it's a website for guilty white liberals to apologize for the Zimmerman verdict. And I made a post. And since I'm driving a car, I'm going to have to paraphrase it because if I keep my eyes down more than half a second, I'll be getting called AAA for a tow. Anyways, I want to tell you about my experiences and observations in post-racial America. I'm a white male in my 40s. I have lived and worked with black people all of my adult life. I have lived in minority cities by choice. I've lived in the Bronx, Yonkers, Norfolk, Virginia, and Portsmouth, Virginia. I have worked in some of the most depressing and dangerous places that this country has to offer by choice. And my reward, I have been called every name in the book, including racist and the N-word. One person didn't like my sense of humor. He threatened to take away my livelihood, citing racism, even though there's absolutely nothing racial about what my dialogue was.
Well, Scoop, you've apparently covered the waterfront there. You've gone from soup to nuts. You're a racist, which we know a black person can't be, and you're also called the N-word, which, of course, is a synonym for a black person. So everything that they could say negative about you apparently has been said about you. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why you work for us. You ended up in the right place.
Right. And some of my life observations in 1992 after the Rodney King verdict and South Central LA was burned to a crisp, and while the city's still smoldering, black people didn't know where to pick up the welfare check or how they would be delivered by the Postal Service. In 2005, New Orleans was crushed by Hurricane Katrina, and the people in the Superdome, predominantly black people, turned that place into a cesspool. People were using everything and anything as a toilet. White men had to defend the white women from rape. People were raped. People were murdered. Shots were going off. People were smoking crack. Pure bedlam. Fast forward to today, and we got the Zimmerman verdict. People are upset, so then Oakland, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and other cities have issues. Other things I've noticed, certain neighborhoods are majority black, are also majority dangerous. They include Bedford-Stuyvesant, East New York, South Chicago, South Memphis, Anacostia here in the district. And the neighborhood my grandmother grew up, which was Jewel City, was now a ghetto. Also, toll cities are no-go zones, such as Detroit, Atlanta, and Baltimore. Black people make up 13% of the population, but 50% of the prison population. And it's only in black neighborhoods where stores and restaurants have glass between customers and server. You don't see that in majority of white neighborhoods.
Scoop, it's not glass, it's plexiglass, bulletproof plexiglass. Believe me, they would never rely on glass.
But what really gets me is all these Obama voting, Prius driving, coexist bumper sticker people that go on this website, We Are Trayvon Martin, and talk about their white privilege. Ladies and gentlemen, my car is 10 years old with 160,000 miles on it. I can barely pay my mortgage and put food on my table. Where's my white privilege?
Exactly. But, you're talking about this We Are Trayvon Martin. It's a collection of almost exclusively guilty white liberals in defense of if there was attempted murder that night, it was Trayvon. There was an instance of attempted murder, and there was an instance of self-defense.
But and he got summary justice.
Trayvon is getting all the he's the one. He's the darling. Scoop, thanks so much for your report. We're going to take a break. The great Paul Kersey with us at the top of the next hour. We'll be back.
Is in the can. Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.